man had all his family home for Thanksgiving dinner, and they had just said the prayer and beginning to eat, and the man disappeared. They said, "Where did Papa go?" He came back. He said, "Where'd you go, Papa?" He said, "I had to go to the bedroom get my teeth." We all forget. But let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 25. We want to focus on Thanksgiving this morning in the message. And what wonderful songs today concerning Thanksgiving, and so much we have to be thankful for. And the sermon this morning is not in this, it is on Thanksgiving, yes, but it's on remembering to give thanks. Amen. So we can, if we begin to remember what all God has done for us, we have so much to be thankful for. Thankful that we can do what we're doing right now in freedom. That is worship and read God's word together. Let's notice the scripture, Psalms chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. We want to focus on those for a few minutes. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. Lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for scriptures today, Lord, that we can read freely here in the U.S. Pray for those who do not have that freedom, God, that they would be able to gain that freedom, that you would give them that freedom. And I praise you, Lord, for your word today, and I pray that you'd minister to our hearts, you'd speak to our hearts as only you can do. I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to the lives and hearts. May our ears be open, God, to what you have to say to the church. We ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon your people and your servant today. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember to give thanks. We'll entitle the message that today. Before we were before conversion, before we became Christians, before we became child of God, Thanksgiving probably was not a part of our character. We have a habit of remembering what's wrong with everything and how things ought to be, instead of being thankful that things are as good as they are. And so, you may be saying in your heart, if you only knew, you wouldn't be saying that. Well, we always have something to be thankful for if we remember God, because God has done so much for us. All that we have is what God has given. God has given eternal life. God has given his Holy Spirit. God has given eternal life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So we know that God gives good things. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of the good things that God gives us trials sometimes to go through to shape our character, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. And we don't like them, but sometimes trials come for God's purposes. But we as a church and as a people, as God's people, must make a practice of remembering what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do for us, has promised to do for us. Amen. But we have problems with memory sometimes. There's a story about a city dweller. If you're from Quitman, a city slicker. Who was visiting relatives on a farm, and the farmer gave a whistle, and his dog herded the cattle into the corral, and then the dog latched the gate with her paw. "Wow, that's some dog," said the city man. "What's her name?" "The forgetful farmer," thought a minute, then asked, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" He said, "A rose." He said, "That's it." The farmer turned to his wife and said, "Rose, what do we call its dog?" Man, memory is something we struggle with. How many times in Scripture did God remind Israel of their deliverance from Egyptian bondage? If you read the Bible through, you'll find time after time after time, God says, "Remember the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, from slavery to freedom. Remember that. Don't forget it." The word "remember" here is a Hebrew word called zakar. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but you don't know whether I did either. So, Z-A-K-A-R. But this Hebrew verb has its basic meaning of to contemplate or to call to mind. When it refers to ideas or events, it is translated "remember." In other passages, it pertains to thinking about the future and is translated "dwell on," "consider," or "mention." Now, I want to tell you something. We have things to think on right now that God has done and to give thanks to Him. We have things to give thanks for that God has done in the past. But I can tell you something, friend, from the promises of God's Word, we have things to thank God for the future. The best is yet ahead to the child of God. Amen. And so the psalmist calls frequently on God's people to remember what He's done, to remember God's mercy, and to remember many things about God. But first of all, when it comes to giving thanks, let's remember the victories that God has given. David had many memories. This is a psalm of David. And David had many memories to be thankful for. And if David went back over his life, he could think of numerous things that he had reason to give God thanks for. And if you read throughout the psalms, you're going to find every emotion that you have there in the psalm somewhere. Amen. You'll find times when David didn't write all the psalms, but he wrote a great number of them. And he would find he was mad at people. And God said, and he would say, "God, I pray that you would judge them all. I pray that you would just wipe them out, I mean, so to speak." And then by the end of the psalm, he's saying, "But Lord, I praise you for being so merciful to all of us." And it would change tunes by the end because his emotions had changed as he wrote the scriptures, as God got a hold of him and inspired by the Holy Spirit to go on. And so David had many memories to be thankful for. He could not forget how that God had empowered him as a child or as a young man to go against the great giant Goliath, a man who was about 9 foot tall, and he went against Goliath, and you know he spoke very boldly through the power of God's Spirit to the Goliath and said, "You come to me with a sword and spirit, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts." And we know that God delivered the Goliath into the hands of David, and he overcame him, killed him with a slingshot, and he was dead, and God gave Israel great victory over the Philistines that day. David had many memories, and his life was not one where there were no trials or nothing went wrong. He had a time when Absalom, his son, tried to overthrow him out of the kingdom, tried to kill his father and to take over the kingdom of Israel, and he almost succeeded. And so we know that David had those trials. He had family problems. He had things that happened to people. So we know that Absalom was killed in battle. But David requested that he not be ashamed. Verse 2, "O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." David had to remember all the things that God had done for him. He gave him victory over Goliath. He gave him victory over a lion and a bear that was trying to steal a sheep when he was a kid. He gave him numerous victories over the Philistines. He gave him numerous victories over every army that would come against the children of Israel. And inside and out, when his own family, his own nation, he had troubles. He had trials like everybody does. And yet God delivered him out of them all. And he says, he prays here, "God, do not let my enemies triumph over me." And I believe that David knew more than there were more enemies than just physical enemies. But I believe that he knew that in the spirit world, there were armies of God, armies of angelic hosts that were fighting for him and fighting for Israel. That's plain in Scripture if you read far enough. Amen. And so we know that David, when he prayed, "Don't let our enemies triumph over us," in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm. "Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And you and I, we have many victories, memories of victories to be thankful for. Think about all the times that God has delivered you from shameful things, destructive things, many times from things you don't want anybody else or wouldn't want anybody else to know about. And the word "ashamed" here, let's look at it for just a moment. It's mentioned in verses 2 and 3. "Let me not be ashamed." Verse 3, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those who be ashamed who deal, let those be shamed who deal treacherously without cause." Shame is something that means to be distraught, distressed, or humiliated. That means ashamed, not shamed. I read a story and I want to express it. That story to you right now, if you're at your local Christian bookstore and you see a book by the title "Unashamed" by the author Christine Kane, I urge you to buy it and read it. And don't stop there. Give it to somebody else to read. It's a good book. God delivered Christine Kane, who is now an evangelist and a speaker over many places in the world. But she had very much shame of her past. She was sexually abused as a child for a number of years. She doesn't even know who her real mother and daddy were. She was left. She was just number so-and-so, so-and-so, an orphan. A family took her in, raised her. Things weren't very good there either. But later she was saved and delivered and set free and come to know Christ as her personal Savior, which made a wonderful change in her life. But she had difficulty all of her life being raised like this, that she had a difficulty not being ashamed of herself when she wasn't the cause of her shame. Amen. And now God has used this young woman and her husband, Nick, in many ways to help get children, young girls, out of human trafficking, sexual slavery, and put back on the right track. This is a huge problem, not only in our world, or not only in this nation, and not only in foreign countries or third world countries, but right here in our own country as well, where people are made slaves of, take children and make slaves of them, not just children, sometimes adults. But somehow or another, God transformed Mrs. Kane here and her husband where that they could take authority over that and they could help people get away from the shameful life that they were forced to live. And it's a wonderful story. And you and I, don't let the shame of past failures control you, because the enemy of your soul will try to do that. The enemy of your soul will cause guilt to come in to try to make you feel guilty over things that God forgave you of years ago. And I'm not trying to make people feel good about their sin, but I am here to tell you, friend, we can be thankful that God saves, God delivers, God sets free, God wipes away our past. We're covered by the blood of Christ, and by the power of His blood, we're declared not guilty, amen, justified in the sight of God when you come to Christ. And so we could let shame cover us if we want to, but no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The power of God into salvation. Okay, so just remember victories that God has given us. Number two, let's remember your total dependence on God. And we are totally dependent upon God. And if we don't think that, there's ways that God can let us know that we are. But here in the scripture we read today in our text, it says, verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord." Let's look at that for just a moment. Show me your ways, O Lord. We mistakenly think naturally that we know what's best for ourselves. We really don't need anybody's help, you know, and kind of swell up sometimes, say, if I need your help, I'll ask for it, that kind of thing. But many of our assumptions turn to be out wrong at times. A person may think, I've got this living for God thing down. I've got this marriage thing down. I've got this child raising thing down. I've got everything down. I've got this thing going. I know how it's done. Amen. And I don't need anyone's instruction. But my friend, you will fail miserably if you don't have God to show you the way in all of that, all of your life. There was a song came out when I was a kid, and it was a secular song. It mentioned the name of Jesus. But the words of the song, and I can't remember all of them, but I remember this part. It said, me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us how to work it out. Anybody remember that song? Okay. Oh, but we do need people to tell us how to work it out. We need God to tell us, right? But we need instruction from the Word of God. God put pastors, evangelists, ministers, teachers in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up, the encouraging of the body of Christ. God did that. Amen. And so the psalmist here said, show me your ways. And when disappointment comes to us, and when people we trusted disappoint us, and we realize we need God, and when people disappoint you, or people you trusted in the most fail or fall, there's always somebody around said, you know, people like that just kind of go after that type of fella. People say that till they're in a struggle all their own, and then they want to change it all up. But remember, God alone knows all about it. People don't know all about it. God does knows it all. I've met a few people that knew it all or thought they did, but God knows it all. And in Psalms chapter 139, great psalm, for this writer says, Psalms 139, about knowing everything, God is all-knowing. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou comprehendest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Eyes, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. God really does know it all and knows everything. And God knows why we say what we say. God knows why we live the way we live. God knows why we struggle with the things we struggle with. And yet God is merciful. God is kind. God knows all of that. And yet he's still willing to work with us. I thank God that he's still willing to work with me, still willing to work with you, still willing to work with us all. Regardless of how hard we've fallen or how much we've failed, God cares, God knows, God understands, and God's love is far beyond any kind of love that mankind can produce. Show me your ways. Here in Psalms 25, our text, it says, not only show me your ways, Lord, but it says, teach me your paths. People can be shown things but never learn. Don't look at your neighbor. Teach me your paths. Because we need to know God's way, and God's the way that he walks. And we need to follow him. I never heard God once say to me or to anybody, let me follow you. In many places he said, follow me. Amen. So we want to follow Christ. We want to follow his teachings. We want to follow the word of God. We want to follow the biblical principles of God's word, the commands of Scripture. And there's great reward to following God, following Christ. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I want to tell you something, friend. There may not everything in your path in this world may not be bright. You may not be accused of being bright and everything. But Christ shines his light upon us. And as we walk in the light as he is in the light, that light shines brighter and brighter and brighter into the perfect day until you're ushered into the kingdom of God, whether it's by the way of the grave or the rapture of the church or whatever. I want to tell you something, friend. God has a way, and that shining light leans on more to the perfect day. I'm looking for that perfect day, praise God, where there'll never be a night. The Bible tells us very strongly that heavenly city has no need of the sun, the moon, or the stars, for the glory of God lightens that city. Amen. The old song written in that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise God. Teach me your paths. God is so merciful, and we need to be thankful that God is leading. We're following Him. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life, not death, but life, winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Praise God. We need God to teach us His way. Praise the Lord. Then he says, lead me in truth. Verse 5 of our text, lead me in your truth and teach me. This is a request for truth while waiting patiently on God's instruction. The instruction that God gives us, you may ask, well, how do I know when God's talking to me? You're not the first person that's asked that. God may speak in your heart. This is probably the way it will come most often, not always, but usually there is a scripture or something in the Bible. If you're reading your Bible on a consistent basis, hopefully you are. You know, the Bible is not just a church book. It's something you need in your life every day. But you're troubled about something. Many times God will speak scriptures or a word or part of a scripture to your mind that will answer the question that you have, or instruct you on what to do, or guide you in the way of righteousness and truth when you're tempted to go the other way. Amen. Many times, God's word will lead you there. Amen. And God puts His Holy Spirit in you to call the words of Christ and the word of God to remembrance. There's times when there's just impressions on your heart you can't get away from, and that God is speaking to you and telling you what to do, and you just can't get away from knowing what you're supposed to do. God puts the knowing in your heart that this is the right way, this is the right decision, this is the right thing to do. That may be hard at times, but I believe also that God knows that we're sort of hard-headed, and so He has a way of showing us, confirming His word over and over again so that we get it. Amen. You remember your parents said, they'd instruct you to do something, they said, did you hear me? Did you get it this time? Since God created humanity, He knows us. But God may confirm various times that this is it, this is right, this is the right way, you're doing right. I believe that God will confirm His word. And you can hear from God like that. Amen. And God's word will never contradict His own, the scripture. Amen. Okay, show me your ways, teach me your paths, lead me in your truth. Number 3, request for God to remember. This sounds strange. But verse 6, it says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. David says, God, remember. Not that God forgets. I want to tell you, God has total recall. He didn't miss anything. He didn't forget anything. We do. But David here in his humanity called and said, Lord, don't forget. Lord, remember. And God's character is eternal, and so He does not forget. His tender mercies, His loving kindnesses, they have been from of old. They are the character of God. His loving kindness and His tender mercies. I'm glad that God is loving. He's kind. He's tender. He's merciful. Amen. How many times have you thanked God? God, I'm glad that you've been merciful to me one more time. I'm thankful, Lord, that you let this pass by and you've forgiven me of it one more time. You've told me and assured me that it's wrong, but yet you have forgiven me of it and you haven't cast me off to the side. We need to be thankful that God is who He is. He's a God of mercy, God of loving kindness, God that's tender, God who doesn't hold grudges forever. And then the writer here, he says, God, there's some things I don't want you to remember. That's not going to really work either. God can remember anything and everything if he wants to. And he says in verse 7, don't remember the same things of my youth, my sins of my youth. Have you ever prayed that? Probably should. Nor my transgressions, according to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. That's a real request there. Amen. Do not remember the sins of my youth, whether done in ignorance, immaturity, or even willingly. He's saying, Lord, if you're capable of forgetting, there's a few things I'd like you to forget. And David had sins far even past his youth. He even needed to pray, God, forgive me from the sins of my adulthood when I knew better. How many times as a kid, when you'd grown to a certain age, that you got a spanking for things you knew better than to do it to start with, but you just thought you wouldn't get caught this time? Amen. Ever hand raised. Amen. But David had huge sins. However, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All need forgiveness. All need Christ. And so David had great sins. Amen. And even David remembered God's graciousness to forgive him. I'm thankful. I believe that David was thankful for God's forgiveness. Praise the Lord. And even Psalms 103 and 12, he says, as far as the east is the west, as the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What we would consider great sins was sin of David, who broke all the commandments. Amen. He bore false witness against his neighbor and got him killed. He stole his wife and committed adultery. And he dishonored God by breaking commandments. In Psalms chapter 51 is David's prayer of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. And he prays in that psalm. He said, Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. You may have to pray that prayer. We all need to pray that prayer. Sometimes, God, I wasn't really right. What I said was a little dirty, or what I thought was a little bit dirty, or my actions, my reactions were dirty. Lord, would you make me clean and pure again? Would you clean my heart up, oh God? And I believe that needs to be a prayer of every church member, every church person throughout this world, my friend. If we could just have a revival where God cleans us up and makes us pure and true again, and we're on the right road again, then we could have revival throughout this world. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And David prays here. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, and Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me, O God, through your free spirit. The Bible says when David was but a child, God touched him, the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. When he was a child, David knew what it was to have the Holy Spirit with him. The general outpouring upon all flesh didn't come till the day of Pentecost, but there were certain peoples that God put his Spirit upon, usually prophets, priests, and kings. Jesus fulfilled all those offices. David prayed here, said, God, I know I've sinned awful, I've sinned terrible, but Lord, please, whatever you do, dear God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You and I can't imagine a life without the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine a life without the Holy Spirit of saying, you need to do this or you need to do that, or prompts me to quit something or do something. And surely the Holy Spirit will prompt us to give praise to God for all of his goodness and his grace. Lord, don't let me forget when you save me. Lord, don't let me forget when you fill me with the Spirit. God, don't let me forget when you heal me. Don't let me forget, God, the time when I was in a desperate situation and you forgave me. Don't let me forget. But God, don't remember what David said here. Graciously, God holds confessed and repented of sins against us no longer. God can call up anything that he wants to. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He's never forgotten anything. But He does not hold sins against us that we've repented of and confessed and asked God's forgiveness. Other people may not forgive you. Other people make the scriptures hard on you one some way or another. They may come to be your judge, but they will not stand. You will not stand before them when comes judgment day. You'll stand before God alone. And God does not hold our repented of sins against us any longer. I'm glad for that. The book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 19, He will again have compassion on us. The writer there assumes that God has had to have compassion before. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Anyway, God is not going to hold things against you. When you get to heaven, I don't think God's going to say, look back there, don't you remember how awful you were back there? Don't you remember how hard, how terribly you failed at that one thing? No. There's not even going to be any recollection of past failures when we get to heaven. God will do, we'll just acknowledge that God has done everything well, everything right, and He was truly pure in all that He did. Okay, last of all, let's acknowledge who God is. I know it's... you can't thank God that you got out on time this time. Verses 8 through 11, acknowledge who God is. In verse 8, we find good and upright is the Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm thankful that You're good and upright because humanity sure isn't. Therefore, He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice, praise the Lord. And the humble He teaches His way. Our part is to be humble. And God guides us. Verse 10, He says, all the ways of the Lord are mercy and truth. If it wasn't, no one would be saved. But His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures forever. To such as keep His covenant and His testimonies, for Your sake, for Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For Your name's sake, for honor of the Lord's name, Lord, please pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And yes, we need God's pardon, and we need God's forgiveness, and we need God to restore us continually. Amen.